One of the beauties of the church is that we get to share ministry. Ministry is all for one, Jesus Christ, but it is done by the many. And we are thankful for Ben Haley and for Beth and for all those who are participating and serving the campus through RUF, and for Jason and Sarah and all those who are serving the international scholars in our community through RUF International. And Ben's going to preach. That's not just so the pastor can have a week off. That's because we have shared ministry. And one of the beauties is that God is at work, not just in the strong, but in the weak. And the beauty of the gospel is that we proclaim our weakness in the strength and sufficiencies of Christ, because He is the one true treasure. So I'm delighted that Ben can preach for us this morning. And I'm going to ask that we pray and then we hear the word of God in preparation for that sermon. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that You are a God who speaks. Would You speak to us now? Would You give Ben the strength and power and conviction of Your Spirit to charge us with Your truth? That this word that is constantly and consistently true for our lives might enliven us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of God from Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of God.
Morning. Hey, I just want to say thanks again to all of you for your love and your support and your prayers for RUF. It's a great privilege to serve and to be here with our family. And I just want to say thank you as I have this opportunity. Have you ever been excited about deer droppings? I was thinking about deer droppings this week because I got real excited one time when I grew up deer hunting a lot. And I grew up in Mississippi, and we had about 1,200 acres that we leased from a cousin. And it was a pretty big tract of land, and we actually, in Mississippi, it's actually still legal to hunt with dogs. So don't report that or anything. But anyway, it's legal. So anyway, that's just the way we grew up hunting. I mean, and deer were a little more sparse than they are here in Texas. They're a little more elusive, harder to find. So we would run dogs. And a lot of the times, I would be the one taking the dogs into the woods. And again, this was a 1,200-acre tract of land that I knew. I mean, I knew this whole tract of land. It was fun. And I would walk around. Sometimes I get lost. Like, really? You know? And this one time, the drive was over and the dogs were gone. The deer was gone. And so I was trying to find my way out. And I stumbled. I was walking through the woods and I looked down. And I started stepping on deer droppings. And I got so excited because that's where I was like, this is where the deer live. Like, we've been looking for deer. This is where they live, right here. And so I find this section of land. So I found my way out, and I got in my truck, and I drove to deer camp, and I let everybody know. I said, hey, do y'all know that spot down that fire lane off of the Reed Road, about a half mile down? And they're like, no, we don't know that spot. I said, I just want y'all to know, it's mine. My spot. Y'all can have the rest of the 1,200 acres, but this little 5-acre spot right here is mine. I didn't care. Everybody could hunt everywhere else they wanted to. And I got $3 that year from that one spot. It was awesome. I'd never been so excited about deer droppings in my life. The kingdom of heaven is sort of like that. That's what the text says. You might not be looking for it, or you might you might be looking for it. You stumble upon it, sort of like I did. I stumbled upon this great spot, and I was like, you can have the rest of it. You can have everything else. I want this one spot. Or it might be something that you are searching for. So Beth and I have a running joke. You know, one day Beth calls me, and I'm on campus, and she's like, I need a truck. And I said, oh, what do you mean you need a truck, baby? And she said, well, I've been, you know, the students are starting to leave town. This was a couple years ago. And when the students start leaving town, stuff is just all over the curbs, you know? And it's like treasure, you know? Some of it. So she calls me. She's like, baby, I need a truck. I said, we have a truck. Like, I drive the truck. She's like, no, I want a truck. So whenever I'm driving around town and I just want to turn down the streets and see what they got on the side of the road, I can just throw it in the back of my truck. So it's not uncommon for me to walk into my garage and see items there. And then I say, hey Beth, where did this lamp come from? She's like, well, I got it off the side of a road. And she's like, why was it on the side of the road? Well, I don't think it works. She goes, can you rewire it? Can you paint it? And then can you bring it in the house and put it over there by the sofa? I'm like, yes, ma'am, I sure can. But for her, that lamp at that moment was this great pearl, right? She'd been looking, and she found the lamp. She called me, she said, I have found the lamp. I was like, great. I'm thinking I'm about to be at $85 at, you know, Lowe's or Michael's or something. And she's like, on the side of the road. And I'm like, oh boy, what's this going to be? Well, this morning, what I want to do for us is I just want to open up the treasure chest that is called the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So I just want us to imagine that there's a treasure chest sitting up here. And I just want to start pulling things out of it, treasures to pull out of it for us to look at. Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is unlike any other treasure. And as we open that treasure chest this morning, and as we look at it together, my prayer for me and for you, for all of us, is that the Holy Spirit would work as we're looking at these treasures of the kingdom of heaven, so that we might say, in joy, with joy, we might say, this is what I want. All this other stuff is great. This is what I want right here. So I just want to pull some of the treasures out. I just want to call it some of the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. One of those treasures that pops out of that treasure chest is hope. I have conversations a lot with people and students, especially about hope. You know, hope is something that, it's not optimism. It's more than optimism. Hope is born out of this appraisal that things in this world are not right, that things in me and you are not right, and hope is this longing for that better thing. And it really is, it's really hard to have hope, is it not? At times, I don't know, I struggle with having hope. I'm sure you do too, because there's this constant bombardment of the reality of things. It's hard sometimes. And things are not the way they're supposed to be. And as I talk with students, especially, about things like sexual immorality, they begin to lose hope. They begin to lose hope that they can actually have healthy relationships with someone of the opposite sex, guys or girls. They begin to lose hope because they become buried. A guy can become buried in his sexual immorality and wonder if it's really possible to have a healthy relationship with a girl. And a girl can get buried in her sexual immorality and she begins to wonder if she can actually have, if it's possible to have a healthy relationship with a guy. And the world just, the kingdom of this world just doesn't know what to do with that. So we become cynical And that stinks. That doesn't work. But we pull this treasure called hope out of the treasure chest of the kingdom of God. And whereas our cynicism says, no, I mean, I'm never going to change, or things are never going to change. It's not really possible for me to have a good relationship. Hope says, yes. The resurrection of Jesus says, yes. But not just those kind of relationships. This morning, coupled with hope, is this morning what we witnessed. An expression of that hope is baptism. And I'm going to make a plug here for the way we do baptism. You know, parents, I don't want you to parent wondering whether or not your children are believers. I don't want you to parent wondering whether or not you're good enough mama or daddy. I don't want you to parent out of that. The reason why we are so hung up on this baptism thing is because, especially when we baptize children, I'll actually apply it to Aaron in a second, but especially when we baptize the children among us, that baptism allows us to parent out of the confidence that God is committed to our family. Just real practical. Do you want a parent wondering whether your child has the Holy Spirit or is enough, or whether you're enough? Or do you want a parent out of the reality, the confidence that God is committed to your family? And not only that, for even what we would call like a believer's baptism today for Aaron, as I prayed in my prayer, I want Aaron to live not wondering whether his faith is enough, not wondering whether his faith is good enough, not wondering whether he hasn't done enough. I want him to live his life now, from here forward, I'm going to look at you, here forward, believing that God is committed to him and that was sealed today. See, the question of whether or not God is committed to us is not on the table anymore. We sealed that today. That's a done deal. That's what Christian hope can do. That's what the kingdom of God, that's a gift to the kingdom of God. Another gift, and I'm just going to pull gifts out. Another gift the kingdom of heaven brings to us is empathy. Empathy in a couple of different directions. The world says when bad things happen to you, they don't always say it, but it's always lurking under the surface. And when bad things happen to you, it's really your fault. And when good things happen to you, they're jealous. When good things happen to people in the world, the way they react to each other often is a jealousy. Well, the kingdom of heaven brings this real empathy, which means this, a sharing of that moment with you. That's what empathy brings. That's what the kingdom of heaven brings. So that when something hard does happen to you, whether it's your fault or not, the kingdom of heaven at least says, I'm sorry, that stinks. Even if you did it. The world says when something good's happened to you, maybe there's a sense of entitlement behind it. Maybe there's jealousy behind it. The kingdom of heaven says when a great thing happens to you, and sharing in the kingdom of heaven together means that God is saying, that's great. That's so great. You know, I'm like, this is the kingdom of heaven moment. Beth and I are in the car to get Nathan the other day from school. It's Friday. And we're pulling up to get Nathan. And I just get emotional. I just got emotional. And the reason was because I was saying, Lord, I'm here. And I have this son. Because my daddy wasn't able to pick me up from school because he wasn't around. And the Lord was able, the Lord shared in that moment with me and Beth. He said, yes, I rejoice with you. You're still married. Come on. Yeah, but yeah. I've been married 16 years. All you 15 and up people, you know what I'm saying. So anyway, like this is just a good thing, you know. The kingdom of heaven brings freedom. There's a grill in the REF closet. It's named the Jesus is my freedom grill. I'll tell you why it's named the Jesus is my freedom grill. Because back in the fall, Carol and I were trying to talk about tailgating. We were working on tailgating stuff, and we're trying to get it down to one truck, you know? Trying to get the tailgate thing down to one truck. And you got the we got the big grills that are out there, and they're great. They're great grills, but then they take up like a third of the truck. You can't, you know, you got to play Tetris, you know, when you're doing the tailgate thing. So anyway, I was like, Carol, we need a portable grill. But it needs to be kind of big enough, and then we can just get a smaller grill that's not, quote, portable, doesn't fold up. So Academy's running a sale, and I'm sitting in there in Academy, and we've said, you know what, it's a good thing. We need to get another grill. And so I'm like, do I get the smaller grill that's not compact or the compact grill? And I'm just locked up. You ever seize up in the store? You know you do. And you're just sitting there and you're like, I don't know what to do. Beth did it with Sherwin-Williams all last week in the paint store. This color, that color, this color, that color. You know, and we all do it. We just seize up. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, Ben, buy the grill. Which one? You know, you're free. Get one. Oh, you mean I can just, because we talk about we budget. You mean I just get, yes. So I call it the Jesus is my freedom grill. Because it reminds me that I'm free. These other beautiful gifts that the kingdom brings out, forgiveness, as we talked about, hope. These are the beautiful gifts of the kingdom. And, you know, I could just go on. Clarity. You know, the world offers you a lot of confusing advice about how to do life. It's not wisdom. You know, one of the things that I have to undo a lot is a lot of bad advice, right? So students ask other students for advice. And sometimes it's great. Most of the time it's pretty bad. I said it. I love all of you so much. But you'll say, yeah, I talked to this other 20-year-old and this other 21-year-old and this 19-year-old and they said I should do this. I'm like, none of that is good. But the kingdom of God brings this clarity. I was like, well, let's pray for Jesus and to illumine our hearts to in this situation. And let me talk to Wade about this situation. Let me talk to John. Let me talk to Tucker. Let me talk to counsel. Let me talk to Norval. Let me talk to these folks. Let me talk to Beth. You know, I'm not a female. I don't really know. Let me talk to Beth. You know, so the kingdom of heaven brings this great clarity for us. And back to the student earlier where we were talking about, is it really possible to have a good relationship? As I hold these things out for you, the question is it really possible for these things to manifest themselves in my life? Is it really possible for me to have these beautiful gifts? And as we were talking, and as we've been talking about this thing of hope, and is it possible to have a good relationship with a girl? And is it possible to have just good relationships? We kind of stumbled upon this thing to where we said, well, why don't we ask the Lord for it? Why don't we ask the Lord to reveal this to us? This morning in Sunday school, Tyler was talking about the disciples, and you know, Jesus had just fed 4,000, and then they, like just a few moments later, they're like, what are we going to eat? How are we going to eat? And Jesus is like, what, can you not see? Can you not remember? Can you not hear? Do you not understand? And I want us to have the freedom this morning to say, no, I don't. Lord, I can't see these treasures you're talking about. Will you show them? Will you uncover my eyes? Because I run after a lot of other things and it blinds me. Will you do this work, Lord? What I love also about this text is that the gospel is actually buried, pun intended, buried in this text. This text comes on in the middle of two texts on judgment. And one of the things that I think that Jesus is saying in this text is that even as we think about, you know, what does it mean for us to lay hold of the kingdom of heaven? What does it mean for us to lay hold of these promises and these beautiful things as we turn and we look at other things and we say no, and in great joy we turn and we see hope and clarity and we want these things. Even as we look at that, what emerges from the text is that you're the pearl. You're the treasure. I'm the pearl. I'm the treasure. Because Jesus was looking and he found you and he said, I'll sell it all. I want you. My life, take it. Jenny, you're a pearl. Beth, you're a pearl. Now, I'm making all the Presbyterians that feel guilty about everything in the world nervous right now. But don't let that guilt get in the way of what I'm telling you right now. That's selfish. Don't let your guilt and your shame get in the way of what I'm telling you right now. You are the pearl. You're the pearl. You're the treasure. And Jesus said, I want them. I'll give everything. Everything. I don't care. I want these people. And that's exactly what he did at the cross. But you know, it's crazy. It's as we worship the Savior, as we look at the Savior and we behold him and we go, wait, what? Why? Why? Why me? Why did you do that? He just wanted to. He gets to do that. And then we kind of go, well, I love you. You love me like that? You love me in such a way that you give everything away for me? Yes. And Jesus doesn't need our love. But he does this explosion in our heart of real love, and we just go, well, why am I not doing that? Why am I not selling everything to follow you? Why am I not giving everything away to follow you? Because you can't see. I need to see. Will you help me see? Yeah. I'll give you my love. I'll help you see. I'll do the whole thing. All of it. Isn't that cool? That's the gospel. How do you know if you're bumping into these things? Well, you get buck fever. You know what buck fever is? When you're hunting, it's a phenomenon. When you're hunting, and you've sacrificed a lot, you've done a lot of things. It's probably one of the only things I'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go do. It's hunt. Really, it is. I confess. I'm not getting up at 5 to pray. That's a confession. I'll get up at 5 and go deer hunt. There are those things for you. And you get all prepared and you get there and then you hear steps. Or you see a glimpse. And all of a sudden, your heart's just like... you're trying to get the gun up and you're shaking. And like, you're like breathing so hard, you fog the scope, you know. And you're just like, I calm down. Calm. You know, it's buck fever. It's a real thing, I promise you. Because that anticipation and that wonderful moment, you're just so excited about it. This is the best illustration I can give to how you're stumbling upon the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That it just you're like, oh, and you're like, nothing else matters. This is what I want. I want this above all things. Let us pray that God would uncover our eyes and show us the beautiful treasures of the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Lord, I don't see it. We don't see it. But it's It's not that it's not present. Your kingdom just presses in upon us, and I'm saying thank you. Thank you. Lord, work this in our hearts. Help us see. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.